This is our ability to age well. Like, how are we missing this piece? And I'm so guilty of it myself. Like, even fear around food, or this food equals my fat loss, and that's the only thing it is. It's like, no, this is my ability to be a beautiful, strong, energized mom. It's to serve at my highest level. It's my mental clarity. It's my ability to focus. It's my ability to connect with my husband and have libido. Welcome to Maximizing Fitness, Physique, and Running Through Perimenopause, the podcast for the everyday recreational female runner, active woman, or fitness lover who's ready to take charge of her health, hormones, and energy. If dying to maximize your ability to feel, look, or run your best at any age without overcomplicating it, welcome to the right place. I'm your host, Louise Valentine, a multi-award-winning exercise physiologist, holistic health practitioner, performance scientist, nutrition, running, and strength coach. I'm thrilled to have you join us. Each week, I'll keep it simple, straightforward, and science-based as we deep dive into how you can work with your female physiology to ditch hormone havoc, maximize fueling, fitness, fat loss, and injury prevention to live a vibrant, healthy, and high-performance life. To the active, fierce female listening, yes, you can and you deserve to have it all. I'm putting directly into your capable hands the game-changing strategies that I wish I would have had in my own journey. So whenever your heart desires, yes, you can lace up your shoes, go for an energized run, and look fit as hell. Ready to join our revolution of unlocking your best with science and simplicity? Hell yes, you are. Let's get started. Welcome back, ladies, to part two, our wonderful podcast episode, deep diving into even more best methods to achieve your fit, functional, and feminine physique, age 35 and beyond. Today, we are going to deep dive very clearly and concisely into five common misconceptions that we see, because we realized, you know, last episode was fun. It was a little chit-chatty, but really, when it comes to giving you ladies actionable information, I was just reflecting on how much I want this episode to be a gold mine. Like, we are confused on what to do in this stage of life. There is conflicting information. Every single woman who comes to our program is incredibly high level. They know basic health and fitness and nutrition information. And they're like, no, I don't even know what to do in this stage of life. Why is nothing working? Why am I not seeing results? So let's talk about what are these five areas that you ladies can just start driving results. Like, turn off the podcast today, take your one or two action steps, and start seeing results. So with that air and that attitude, let's get started. Ariel is back. How you doing, Ariel?
I'm good. I'm really excited to talk about part two. I know we definitely got a little chatty on the last episode, and so it'll be great to give the listeners some like solid takeaways on how they can adjust their nutrition and training to really support their long-term goals, which is what we're all about. Long-term goals.
Yes.
Not what you can achieve, even though we're doing like a summer challenge. What I love about it is it's really setting our ladies up for a foundation of lifetime of success, so that, you know, it's not kind of, you know, you revert back to where you were and then next summer you got to do another challenge again, because it's just, I don't know about, well, I think I do know about you, Louise, but I think most of the population would prefer to not have to constantly be cycling through phases of losing, gaining, and we see that a lot. And I think there is a solution, and it's consistency, adherence, and implementing the right approaches for literally a lifelong success with this process. So
yeah. And I was just talking to Ariel before we hopped on today that this episode is built around the principle of specificity, which I know those are kind of some big words in exercise phys, but honestly, when we look at the results we want to achieve, we need to train specific to that. So if you want to run a certain pace, you need to train specific to that. If you want to achieve a certain amount of weight loss, you need to eat specific to that day to day. You need to plan your splurges accordingly to still meet your goal. You know, for a lot of women, we're talking about like, do you want this to be a slow, sustainable path? Do you want to try and drive a big drop in fat? You know, in a couple of weeks, we can talk through all of those methods, but it looks different day to day in your life and the ability to which you can enjoy life on top of, you know, lifestyle and nutrition, fat loss and all these things, or, hey, you want to see changes in your core. You want to see changes in your arms. You want that long lean fit look instead of, you know, really driving power and other really muscular looks. Like, there is just a certain way to train. So today we are going to, of course, still approach this with an air of respect for other types of training, but talk specific to women who want to feel very comfortable in their skin. They want just to look fit, toned, lean, and they want to be injury-free and functional for life. So meaning you can do what you love for life. So keep that in mind of the context of today's episode. If that is the type of results you're looking for, you're going to love these five areas we'll deep dive into. With that, we still do have our summer challenge going, of course. So if you're interested in that, we are just meeting an extra bonus bi-weekly, twice a month, in our group of ladies. And we're all coming together saying what's working, what's not. How are we ditching this hormone havoc? What are the nutrition strategies that we're learning? How might we apply them differently to achieve different results? And so far it's been super fun. Everyone is super motivated. And even ladies who are like so used to exercising on their own, they're coming to these calls and like, you know what? There's something about other women who are wellness minded, maybe work in healthcare or fitness themselves. And they're like, so what are we doing here to maximize perimenopause? Tell me again. Oh, so with that, we'll get started. I just want to encourage everyone to listen all the way through to this episode, because I do believe at the end is where I'm going to share my biggest golden nuggets of information. So with that, common misconception number one that we see is that you're relying on exercise to burn fat. Ariel, I know you have a wealth of knowledge and experience in this zone. Tell us a little bit more about your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think that like anything, even if you want to burn fat, lose weight, you really have to have a healthy body is a responsive body. And there is, you know, you have to build a foundation first. You have to have good blood sugar stability, low inflammation, low stress. And then it's like a slow, successive increase in training per your body's response. And I think where we go wrong in the fitness and diet culture really is people are always trying to kind of skip over that piece of it. And then we end up shooting ourselves in the foot. And that's why our program is designed so that, like, no, we don't throw you into a calorie deficit in a 6-week shred program, because we know that's like when you stretch the rubber band back too far and it flies off the other way. And I have had so much experience with women who have really done a lot of damage to their bodies, their metabolism, and their long-term results by doing these really aggressive approaches and not really looking at how they need to support the body in the process. And it is slow, but, and I know that's like, I feel like we say that a lot, but it's really not talked about a lot when you're really looking at where we get this idea that we have certain habits and behaviors with our nutrition and movement that we build over 30, 40, 50 years. And then we don't want to take 1 year even to reverse that for the rest of our lives. And I think that's the thing that's really holding us back the most, because if you're, you know, 35 and older, you're managing, you know, you're working, you've got kids, you're stressed, you're not sleeping, you're not eating appropriately. And then you're just jumping to wearing a, you know, continuous glucose monitor or blowing into a Lumen without even mastering the basics as far as taking care of your body. It's just like, it's really a moot point. And I think that what the body can, like, how fast the body can change. I mean, the results we see in our program with women, once they build that foundation, is so incredible. And then they actually maintain it and they feel empowered and positive in the process versus feeling like you're waking up in the morning, you're like, oh my God, I got to drag myself to the gym today and I'm not even tired. I didn't sleep well last night. You know, like all of these other, like, you should feel good in the process of achieving your goals. It shouldn't feel like a constant struggle. And when I say that, I don't mean that it doesn't take hard work, but it's not about it all being hard. It's about, like, you know, sprinkling that in with a balance of all these other modalities so that it is like kind of like you're a work in progress, right? And so, and the better you build that foundation and the more consistent and adherent you are over time, you can start playing more with the variables, because what happens is you just end up learning what your body responds to. And I think that's another really important key too, is that we are so, like, with social media, with everything these days, it's all about like looking outside ourselves for the answers, right? It's like, we need to stop looking and start listening. And there are absolutely foundational principles that we need for a healthy female physiology, a healthy response to exercise and nutrition. But then the intricacies and how each person responds to those inputs is going to be unique to the individual. And it's really empowering when you learn how to work with your body and what your body personally responds to.
Yeah. And like, to that point, there are foundational principles. And these are ones that, you know, in our methods, we had to coach other women. We had to see where we were getting stuck. We had our own experiences. And I think, you know, with our personal experiences with gut health, like if we are not educating women on gut health as the foundation of their health and performance, I don't know what we're doing with ourselves as practitioners. Like, I can't undo that knowledge from my brain to know that that is critical to these, to our clients' longevity in health, fitness, and performance, running, whatever it is you love to do. So it's interesting because it's an emerging science, but if we didn't build that into the program, it would be like, we're lying at this point, if that's not essential. Mm-hmm. And then we look at things like having the metabolism for the sustainable fat loss. And it's, you know, I was kind of laughing in my head. I was thinking, yeah, I was having a podcast episode, like, are you achieving results at the expense of effing your health? And that's, I think, what we see for so many individuals is, you know, we drive these results, we might lose weight or achieve something quickly, but then at the end, we're left with needing HRT, endless perimenopausal symptoms, hot flashes, low energy, low libido. We look at our quality of life at the expense of achieving something like a fast 20-pound loss, and we lost ourselves in the process. Mm-hmm. And then unfortunately, the weight comes right back on. So I think we're doing our best to educate our listeners and our clients on what is the process to drive that sustainability. So it truly is that transformation. So we talked to some of these pillars of what's absolutely essential in your understanding to the ability to burn fat, because it's not accomplished in the gym, it's accomplished in your body. So you have to have that gut health, low inflammation, balanced blood sugar. You need energy. Those are our pillars where we start with every single person in this program. Go ahead, Ariel. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I think, you know, I love what you just said, because it's like, I had this thought a long time ago when I was thinking about how, you know, we can look at all these outcomes with exercise science or nutrition science, but nobody's really looking at the person behind what is eliciting these results. And it's just like, if you, you know, if I eat a certain amount of carbs or a certain type of carbohydrate, it may have a different impact on me than it's going to have on you or somebody else, depending on the foundation we're starting with. Just like with exercise, I talked about this in the last episode, but before I started working with you, if I tried to do sprint interval training, I was inflamed for like 10 days because my body was not in a place where it could respond in a helpful way. Where versus now, I think I told you the other day, my daughter gassed me. I was like, but guess what? I'm not sitting here. I'm not inflamed because my body is in a completely different metabolic state than it was. And I heard this, I was listening to this science podcast, nutrition science podcast. And I thought this was like such a beautiful statement. And she was like, if the participants in the study aren't similar to you in regards to your demographic and metabolism and all these other aspects, then you can't take the research done on those participants and apply it to yourself. And I think about this a lot with diet culture and this like constant focus on restricting, restricting, restricting. And all of that messaging primarily comes from research done on obese people. It does not come from research done on athletes. And when you look at the research done on young or even, you know, our age, healthy women, and you pull calories like that, and you do a ton of exercise, you do not see fat loss like you do in these other studies, because you're dealing with an entirely different metabolism, physiology, etc. And so I think we have to really stop kind of looking, if we are going to be looking to research, we need to be looking to research that's done on our demographic. And then we even need to be taking into context all the other aspects that may not be in place, like in regards to the nutrition and the foundation. Like, I know there's a woman we know in the space who's very popular, and she really, you know, hammers on how women over 35 should not do cardio, should not do zone two. It's all about heavy lifting. And I understand where she's coming from, but if you're healthy and you've built that quality nutrition plan and you have a good metabolism and you're not overdoing it or overstressing the body, then, I mean, endurance training, actually, the studies I've read, women can peak in their 40s and 50s and 60s with endurance training.
Absolutely. But it doesn't mean all the time. Yeah. Let's not pretend like we're not seeing women crush it, you know?
Exactly.
And like postpartum, three babies, and they're just like Olympic trials. Like, oh, look, yeah, they're just naturally, you know, no, that was just a gift. Yeah. From God. Like, that's just how they achieved it. No, there's science behind that. And what was I going to say? Yeah, I think the missing piece that I've realized in our work compared to others is they have incredible science. They are science backed in their methods. But what we're doing is we're protecting female hormones first and foremost. Mm-hmm. The methods we use protect hormones. Why? Because I had to protect the crap out of mine. I had to optimize them at a very young age. I had to realize what the heck was happening, because all I was told was medication was going to be the rest of my life. When that happens in your 20s, and for me, just being in science, like, you better bet, like, I'm going to fight so that I don't have to be in a lifetime of meds. I'm not saying that there's not a time and a place for things like hormone replacement therapy or appropriate medication. Of course, like, that's a beautiful thing. And I'm grateful for medication when it has its place. But to say we're going to be on it for the rest of our lives, or for those of us who that just doesn't align with our values to be on a ton of medication, how do we protect our hormones? That is what we're educating women around. And you, when you take a step back and you have your hormones, you know how to protect them, like, fiercely, you keep it simple and consistent, you can do whatever you want. And I think that's where we're, like, giving that freedom to women to, okay, so you do love CrossFit, go for it. Okay, so you do want this really long, fit, feminine physique that looks, you know, it's just, it's not super muscular, but you want to be strong and injury free. That is, you know, own it. Just step into it. Like, what is your next level? I think that's the question we ask every single woman. Define your next level for us and let's build towards that vision. How do you want to feel? You know, how do you want to look? What's holding you back? Where are you stuck? You know, I think those are the major questions to stop and ask. Going back to this common misconception, though, this idea that we're going to burn our fat through exercise, I have seen a lot of women get really stuck here. So I want to use an example, because I know as adults, like, we learn really well, adult learning theory here for all of you health education nerds, but we learn best when we apply it through a story. So let's think of a woman who loves Peloton. She is getting up every day at 4:30. She loves getting up before the kids. It's the only time she has. She's doing 60-minute rides hardcore. She is dialed into MyFitnessPal. She has got the lunches made. They are perfectly designed to have whole fresh foods most of the time. But she's feeling burned out. She's not seeing physique changes. And she's wondering, what the heck? In fact, all these perimenopause symptoms are starting to happen. She's seeing changes in her cycle or energy, mood swings. Husband's asking what's up. And you're just like, I don't even know who I am anymore. I can't even recognize my body. And you feel like you're just like in this hamster wheel that's on fire. And you're just running, 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 running. You're trying so hard in so many areas of life. And I think this is a lot of women that we coach, honestly. I've been there myself. Ariel, I know you have too. But what do we do in that scenario when someone comes into the program like that? Where are we starting? Honestly, a lot of times we're cutting back on the cardio because you don't have the metabolism to support that being beneficial for your body. This less is more approach as we age, focusing more on the lifting, the foundation of nutrition and getting that metabolism back, because all of those red flag symptoms from your body, they're perimenopausal symptoms, right? A lot of people accept that as like, oh, this is just part of the process. It's your body talking to you. Ariel, have you seen this in your work as well? some of our
absolutely. And I feel so bad for women, and I've been there too. And it's like, you feel like you're just working so hard and you're just like, what's going on? Nothing. And I think nothing's changing. And then, you know, I think about that saying, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And I know that, like, I think a lot of times the problem is, well, the stress, right? That's a big piece of it. Also, a lot of women aren't even eating enough or fueling consistently throughout the day. And then when you're throwing that level of activity and cardio to burn even more calories, we're missing the forest for the trees, because exercise is not just about burning calories, especially as we get older. Our body actually does a wonderful job burning calories. I mean, 70% of your total energy needs are your resting metabolism. But if you're doing this high stress, chronic activity on a daily basis, all you're doing is you're stealing from your hormones to create cortisol, you're increasing fat storage, you're decreasing fat oxidation, and you're actually doing the exact opposite of what you're trying to achieve. And it's really hard for us, I think, at least it was really hard for me. And I actually still have to kind of like talk myself out of pushing more, because I think when you are a type A and you're so like, you always have this idea that more is better, more is better, when it's really less is more. And I know we're going to get into that in about the cardio strategies later in the podcast, but I feel like it's kind of the same of calories, right? It's like, we think, oh, some of a deficit is good, so why don't I just eat 1200 calories? I mean, I have a client the other day who was like, well, I want to lose weight faster, so why do you have me up at this level when I want to be, you know, getting the weight off super fast? I want to be at 1100 calories. And I'm like, how many times have you done that? She's like, I don't know, 10 times in the last 10 years. And like, and you're sitting here in front of me with 50 pounds to lose because you've never done it the right way. And so it's just like, and I'm not shaming her at all. And I told her that. I said, this is so natural and normal, because everything around us, and I know we're going to go into this a little bit with the Ozempic craze right now, but everything around us is really skipping over how important it is to take this in steps and really work with our body. And yeah, I mean, 6 hours a week of Peloton, not eating enough, high stress, hormone shifting, that is not going to get you where you want to go by any means. You're going to be inflamed. You're going to be exhausted. You're going to be probably fighting yourself a lot mentally, and your hunger is going to be all over the place. And again, I'm not saying that's for every single woman out there. There are endurance athletes over 35, but I guarantee you they are eating what they need to eat to fuel that performance. And I think that's a huge piece of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the big takeaway question here with this misconception is, are your fitness strategies and nutrition matching your female 35 plus physiology? Are you taking a step back to look at the fact that these hormones are declining, and the first thing you need to do is protect them? So tuning into the podcast, picking up on our strategies, taking the time to listen to these red flag symptoms, because if you are feeling symptoms like unexpected weight gain, feeling burned out, all of a sudden you're injury prone, you're achy, you're sluggish workouts, sluggish running, energy's in the tank, mood swings. I mean, it shows up, like I said, so differently for so many other women. Those are your red flags to stop and take a hard look and look at this holistic stress management, fitness strategies, and trying to do things the right way in this stage of life so that you do set yourself up for longevity in things that you love, feeling, looking, running your best, whatever that is. Ariel.
Yeah. And I want to touch on one more thing here, because I think it's really important, because again, coming back to that mindset piece, if you are approaching your fitness, nutrition strategy, whatever it is you're choosing to do, from a place of fear or thinking that like you're not, this isn't actually what you're drawn to from within, but you're thinking this is what I have to do, then you're really affecting the way your body responds. I do believe there is a tremendous impact in how we feel. Like when I exercise, I do positive affirmations. I think really like I give my body love. Like I come from this place of like just a joy and thinking of like how much I can celebrate and be grateful that I can do this. And I think that that's a huge piece of it. And so like, no matter what we choose to do when it comes to our health and nutrition and fitness, that our mindset and the energy we're carrying during the process is absolutely foundational to what kind of results we achieve.
Yeah, definitely. Mind, body, fitness for sure. All right. Misconception number two, thinking that we always need to switch it up in exercise to see results. And again, I want to go back to what I said at the beginning of this episode, that principle of specificity is one of the first things that we learn in school as exercise physiologists, as people who work in human performance and sports science. You have to train specific to the goals or to the results that you want to achieve. So always mixing it up is many times a very big disservice to those of us who are serious about seeing changes. I know that there's a lot of models, like I've said, that a lot of the fitness industry is built around the idea that people aren't showing up. People are having a hard time getting motivated to exercise. We tend to work with the women who are already motivated. You exercise, you love exercise. It's like everything, like your health and fitness lifestyle is your world. And so when we feel this slipping away and we're going towards these models where everything's being switched up all the time, we're not seeing the changes, partially because of that model. Again, training specific to the results you want to see. And I'll also say that a lot of times I see a lot of women we work with are incredibly knowledgeable. Like we actually have, you know, fitness instructors, physical therapists, physicians, women in our program who are like, I feel like I should know what to do. And it drives me nuts that I don't. And so like, mm-hmm. I always appreciate the fact they put ego aside and they like ask for help in this phase of life because the science is emerging. So I mean, I even remember one physical therapist, she was like so caught in her own exercise programming. And she was like, no, that's not what I learned in school. And I was like, when did you go to school? 25 years ago? The science has changed a little bit. I'm just like gently and lovingly going to say that. But just as an example, ladies, it does take our body when doing a new strength training program, 16 weeks for the science to build neuromuscular patterns so that that muscle can properly fire. Let that sink in. So if we're doing all of these different workouts all the time, this is the logic behind why our methods and why we have women do these same strength training programs. So they truly master those exercises and see the darn changes in their body. At this point, we're all like, where mm-hmm. are the effing results?
I love what you just said about the science changing, Louise, because it reminds me, I will never forget this in my graduate class. And we were talking about gut health. And I asked the professor about, you know, the lining degrading, the leaky gut syndrome, food sensitivities. And he looked at me and he was like, Ariel, that's pseudoscience. He told me it was complete quackery. And now we have all this new research coming out showing it's clearly not quackery. And I just think about, you know, I think what people forget, and I didn't even really realize this until I really sat and thought about it, is that fitness and nutrition science are very young and they're evolving and they're going to continue to evolve and change. And even with like the nutrition piece of people saying that it's just calories, it's like we are seeing that is not just calories. I mean, there's an amazing obesity researcher from Harvard who was just interviewed on another podcast, and she was talking about kind of like how all of this emphasis on just dialing in specific calories, tracking, managing macros is really doing people such a disservice because our bodies are so much more complex than that. And it's causing a lot of unneeded stress. And when we can like pull back the layers and go back to the foundation, like we do in our process. And it's like, the other thing I want to ask women is like, do you want to be sitting on an app, like logging your food? And don't get me wrong, I have clients who want to start that way if they want to kind of get a handle on what their patterns are or get a handle on portions. But I'm always like, this is not a lifestyle. And I do discourage it. I always encourage clients to go more towards the intuitive approach, but yeah, well, intuitive with strategic strategies. I am not an intuitive eating dietitian, all foods fit. No, but intuitive with strategic strategies so that you can get the results and not have to be tied to your macro tracker. And I just think about too, like, can can you imagine, like, we both have kids. Can you imagine your son or my daughter sitting down before dinner and going, Mom, I need to put this in my phone app before I can eat to make sure that I'm staying within my allotment. It's like, when we start to apply some of the thinking that we, the ways we treat ourselves, and we look at, like, would I ever want my child to think this? Or is this how I want my kid to think how to manage food and nutrition and their health? It's like, oh my God, no. So, like, what are we modeling with that kind of approach? Now, again, I don't want to shame people, right? I want people to do what resonates with them, but I'm just saying, for the women in our program and what we want to coach and teach people is just not in that arena, because there's so much we have still yet to understand about the body, metabolism, food, nutrition, and all of it is very dynamic. So even if you think one day you need 2000 calories, tomorrow you could need 2500, the next day you could need 1800.
Yes.
It's just, so you know,
I think what here is to just summarize what you just said is, we're providing a framework. And I think I'm going to start to use this language and just be more honest with our listeners, because I understand after women writing to us, like, we're talking to a very intelligent woman with this podcast, and you understand what a framework is. You understand that if you have strategies that fit into a framework and you just know how much you like what X, Y, and Z that you should have in a meal and certain portions specific to your body, that freedom and knowing how to manipulate and adjust those variables within a very simple framework is freedom. If that's your missing piece, and that is what's missing with women and or anyone understanding how to eat their body, is just that I understand the logic and the framework. Therefore, I always have that in my toolbox. Like, I always know how to function as a human. Like, that is, I think, what this freedom, and like we talk through, like, there's old diet mindset that we work through. There's that need and that want and that desire for the quick fix, or, hey, I need something, just detox my body right away. What's the best supplement I can do? You know, like, give me a 20-day program. I just want a 20-day result. Like, we're working through all of this because it's like naturally how we've been programmed. So to take a step back and say, like, oh, wait, no, I know the framework. Oh, wait, no, I know the strategies to lose fat when I need to. Okay, overdid it on a vacation. I know the fat loss strategy to come home and use. Give myself grace. You know, we work through that diet mindset. Okay, it's attitude of grace. You know what to do. We have a community of women. You can just say, hey, need to hit a little reset button. Like, those moments still happen. You just know exactly what to do from a place of confidence. And it self-love too, which I think you need both of those pieces there.
Oh, Louise, I love that. And that's why I love so much what you designed in our whole, like, Badass Breakthrough Academy. It's a framework of the strength and the foundation, and you're touching on all the pieces that we need. We have mobility, core, alignment, targeted strength for specifically leaning out certain areas. In fact, I'm really excited to try the new glute program that we're going to be doing to maintain those glutes while I up my running, pelvic floor, injury prevention. Like, you have, like, developed this incredible framework for us and the women in our program. And it's just, it's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And
you still have to do it.
It's doable. And the thing about it is, like, I would really encourage women, because I have heard this so many times, and this is where I am kind of one of those odd people, because I like repeating the same workout over and over, because then I'm like, oh, I'm getting stronger, or, like, you know, I can, like,
engage progress for our data junkie.
Engaging progress.
Yeah,
totally. And, like, what you just said is, like, the neuromuscular, the development, the connection between being able to fire those muscles properly. And if we're constantly changing up the program, then we're not, again, building that foundation that we need to have the results that we want. And then once you master that, and you can start maybe getting a little bit more fun, but it's not about, like, changing it up all the time. Like, the body does not, I think that's a big myth in the industry, is that the body needs to be confused in order to drive results.
This is where I'm just, like, taking a step back. Like, this is the effing science. It takes 4 months for your body to build the neuromuscular connect. Like, open a strength and conditioning textbook, and that's what you're going to see. It's like probably chapter 12, if I had to guess. I mean, like, it's like, you know, I'm like, just I'll hold up a textbook next time.
Just like with the nutrition, we have to give like the workouts time to see results. And this isn't about like in 6 weeks. This is about the rest of your life. How are the way that you're moving and the way that you're eating today, how is that going to impact you? Not in 5 weeks, but in 5 years. Mm. I mean, we really need to look at that, you know?
Yes. I think that's the actionable question to ask yourself from this conception. Are the things that you're doing serving your vision of yourself in 5 years, where you're functional, you're injury-free, you're fit, you look fabulous, the weight is gone, it's not coming back, you know confidently exactly how to drop a few lbs if it comes up again, you're good. You're good to go. Like, that is what I just wish we could give that to every podcast listener. But we're going to break down another misconception for you here to empower you with actionable information. So misconception number three, as we age, we think that getting injured is inevitable. So this is where we talk a little bit to that functional fit physique. Injury free, you are able to do the things that you love for life. What I see happening is I see a lot of individuals get stuck with doing physical therapy and never progress into getting stronger. I'll see a lot of people get stuck in like injury prevention programs, or even when you're like freshly on that cusp of like getting released from PT, it's time to progress. It's time to strengthen and realign your body. So I think that there is a place where I just see a lot of athletes or runners getting stuck in, I've just got to keep doing these physical therapy exercises. Like, you don't get dynamic with things. You're not training specific to female 35 plus physiology. So you kind of get stuck in like those higher reps or the lighter weights, and you never get to that, you know, 10 reps or less mode where you're actually able to physically build strength and become more resilient. So one thing that I love was said at a sports science conference that I went to, is it was more so around glutes, but it was like, we think that as we get older, our whole body is just going to break down, that we are losing our muscle and then we're going to get injured and achy. And this is just the way it is. And the guy was like, has anyone stopped to say like, no, you're just sitting on your butt too much and not training correctly? Like, this is the actual root cause of all of these things that's happening in aging. Like, why do we have all these incredibly resilient individuals? It's because they're moving. It's because they're training. They're switching things up according to the way their body changes as it gets older. So your key as a fit, functional female who wants to stay injury-free is lifting heavy enough, which we've talked about very much in depth in past episodes, talking about 10 reps or less for most strength exercises, really making that challenging. But it is really important to have the right exercises, the right amount of weights, right amount of sets, keep it consistently concise and efficient so that you can actually keep doing it and stick with it for long enough to drive those results where you are strong and injury-free and don't have to get stuck in that cycle of injury.
Yeah, I think I want to re-emphasize something that you said, though, with the lifting heavy piece of it, is like, what, going back to what you said in the beginning with specificity, is it really does matter what exercises you're doing, and you may not get the best results or the results you're looking for if you're following like a male pro bodybuilder or, you know, a guy at the gym who's like, you just need to bench and squat and whatever. And I'm not saying that like that isn't, maybe some women love that. That's fine. But all I'm saying is like reflecting on what results you're looking for and how the style of training you're doing is really going to impact your physical outcome, because the specific exercises you choose are going to have a dramatic impact on the result that you produce. So I think that's just important to emphasize. Like, we're talking about lifting heavy, but in a very strategic way for women.
And the other thing too, I'd say what goes along with this common misconception is thinking that running, Pilates, or yoga is enough. And it's not enough per the science with estrogen declining for our body to actually build strength. And we're talking about your resilient functional frame and, you know, muscles, preventing injuries as you age, getting stronger as you age. You do need overload of the muscle. So you know, I love the Pilates instructors in our community. We have yoga, we have women who own yoga studios, and they're like, you know, I want to age powerfully. I want to prevent these injuries. I want to maximize my longevity. I understand this mind-body approach, and the mobility that I get from yoga or Pilates is amazing, but it's not enough at this age. And we see that in the science. Running is not enough, even in your, you would think, you know, it's a little bit like plyometrics where you're landing. It's not enough force to actually build your bones. So where we see all the statistics about women losing bone mass, I think a lot of that is because we just haven't been training with our female physiology. If we look at training properly and educating women around this to actually see changes in their body, to build the muscular strength, I think we'd have much more functional and fit females. It's very, it's unfortunate that when we're stuck in these older methodologies, we can't just admit that, hey, science has changed. And while this is a part of your fitness routine, it is not the solo means by which you are going to thrive.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other thing too, and this is something that I learned just through experimentation, but I do kind of some Pilates style training. I don't do a reformer, but I do some Pilates style training at home. And what I have found is that I have gotten stronger with our strength program by adding the Pilates because of the way that it works on posture, alignment, core, et cetera. And so they can really complement each other. But I do think that one of the biggest mistakes, because I used to be a Pilates instructor, and a lot of women would come in and they'd come to class and they'd come and they would really work hard for 45 minutes, 5 to 6 days a week. And I never saw physique changes. They never got physique changes. They still had issues with, a lot of them would end up with, like, you know, hip flexor or different issues based on the fact that they just didn't have that foundational strength. And so we love Pilates, we love, you know, yoga, but it has to be a part, it has to be a blend of all modalities in order to really get the best results.
Yeah. And I think that's where we're looking at each individual woman we coach's fitness program, like holistically. Do you love bar? Where does that fit? You know, do you love, if you're doing other modes of strength, then yes, you definitely can fit, maybe not weightlift as much, but it's still such a huge part of aging injury free at this point.
Yeah. And you know, something, I just had a little light bulb go off because we are doing this podcast, and it's like about achieving your fit feminine physique. And I think women are probably a little confused because, like, you're telling me lift. Well, yes, we're telling you to lift, but this is, again, I mean, when I worked as a Pilates instructor, a lot of women did that because they thought this is what I need to do to get the long lean physique. I only do Pilates or I only do yoga because if I lift weights, then I'm going to end up looking too muscular or too stocky or whatever. And I think that's where it's like, we are like, what is the saying? I don't know, like canary in the coal mine. Is that the right thing? I'm not sure. But anyways, the bottom line is I don't know of another program or I just don't, where we are truly, yes, you do need the lifting, but it's a specific, again, strategy so that you don't end up with the look that you're not going for. So we understand your desire to have the longer, leaner look. We understand your desire and why you trend towards yoga and Pilates, but you also need to have the resistance training. And if you implement it the way that Louise has designed the program, you're only going to look better. You're not going to get bulky.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I mean, there's just like a real thing too. Like part of the reason why we exercise is to be healthy and strong. So we have to look at things like our bone and muscular health, our joint health, all of that is so essential. So as a practitioner, I'd be doing a disservice if I wasn't building our fitness programs with all of that in mind. Like your health is your wealth. And if you start to lose that, who cares if you look great when 5 years down the road, you have osteoporosis, you know, you're breaking hips. Like believe me, I was well on that path. As you guys know, like I had bone density issues as part of my story. So just preventing that for women too. So we can achieve all of these varying goals. It just takes a lot of strategy, as you're learning today. So some insights here for you. Moving on to our common misconception number 4, runners and active women can't lean out and they can't lose stuck fat as they age. They can't see physique changes. It's impossible. And you can't burn fat and build muscle at the same time. The reason why I lumped all that together is because that's what we hear with a lot of the women that we coach. They are feeling defeated. They're feeling like, I'm a runner who wants to look a certain way. I even loved it the other day. I had a runner who was so dead set on her marathon training cycle and she finished and she's like, oh, so that was great. You know, got my marathon, all went well. But now actually, Louise, I just want to look really good. Like I want to feel freaking good in my 40s. And I like never expected this individual that I coached to say that. I was like, oh, let's go, girl. She's like, what's all this talk about the leaning out phases that everyone else is talking about in the program? Because we have some runners who are very performance focused, but then they're like, wait a minute, there's a whole nother side to this program. And I'm like, let's go. I love this. Let's switch it up a little bit. So you absolutely can have nice glutes as a runner. You can have fit looking arms. You can ditch the bloated tummy, but it's a fine line. It's a very, very fine line. So it does take that strategy working with your physiology in both nutrition and fitness strategy. So we are going to deep dive into a little bit of how you do this. Ariel, what do you got in terms of?
Well, I think one of the big problems and one of the reasons that there is that misconception is because of the old sports nutrition guidelines. And there are still some running coaches and dietitians on Instagram, like promoting eating Pop-Tarts before your training run. And that is just like, and it, what I think is so interesting. So you look at like the physique world, or you look at the bodybuilding world, or people who are really looking at making physique changes, and what do? They increase their protein, they prioritize healthy fats, they eat specific carbs, they have carbs around training. So it's really applying a lot of the same foundational strategies to balance your blood sugar, eating enough protein, balancing the carbs to the fat, making sure that you are fueling your performance, but you're not going overboard and you're certainly not fueling with Pop-Tarts. I mean, maybe if you're doing an ultra, I can totally see that. Don't get me wrong. And when you're doing an ultra, you need to get anything in. But in regards to like your day to day, what we do is we really need to look at strategically how we're eating carbs, what kinds of carbs we're eating. And because the diversity and the whole unrefined carbs, and we talk a lot about this in our Gut Health Masterclass, those are going to have a really different impact on your body composition. Again, over the long term than fueling on Pop-Tarts. And I think that's one of the things about like nutrition research is they'll say, oh, well, when they've done studies and they show very little difference with simple carbs versus whole food carbs. Well, guess what? Number one, they're studying obese population. Number two, they're in a significant calorie deficit. Those two variables change the outcome. And so when we're looking at the women that we're working with, we need to look at all of the aspects of how the food, what you're consuming, how it's supporting the gut, your sleep, your micronutrients, I mean, your performance, et cetera, reducing inflammation. And so it's really about, again, specificity. How does your body tolerate carbs? Do you have issues with insulin sensitivity? Your estrogen is dropping. You aren't going to be as insulin sensitive. We want to work on that metabolic flexibility. We want to get enough protein. We want to prioritize those healthy fats because those healthy fats are what's building our hormones. And they've even shown in research, the lower the fat diet, the less estrogen you have. So there's just so many aspects of where I think this idea that you can't run and get in amazing shape is because a lot of the examples of runners are people who are not dialing in the nutrition, like how we teach our ladies to eat. And yeah. I just think, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm even amazed at like, just in the little bit, I only run 3 days a week and I've only been doing about 3 miles at a time, which is great. I'm fine with that. But even just starting that with the foundation that I've built with you, it's like, I'm seeing results that in the past I wouldn't have seen because I wasn't doing things right, you know?
Yeah. And I don't see many programs for runners who want both. Like you really want performance. Mm-hmm. And you also want to look great. And you may have competing fat loss and physique, as in like, I want to see more toned arms. I want thinner thighs. I want glutes again. I really hate my stomach after having kids. Like, sorry, I used the word hate. Like, we should use an air of self-love. I dislike that area right now, you know, type thing. it had a purpose for carrying a baby at one point. So we have to give it grace and self-love. But with that, we strategize according to your goals. So can you imagine a training plan where you have certain days where you are pushing, like we are specific to that goal pace you want to hit, or the fact you just want to cross the finish line feeling freaking amazing. Okay, if you are in a calorie deficit, your entire training by plugging into MyFitnessPal, only eating 1400 calories a day, that's not going to drive performance. In fact, you will be in a fat loss phase the entire time or trying to drive that. But as we just learned, that's very counterproductive with these hormonal changes. It's going to potentially have you gaining weight. And then you may also be losing a ton of muscle at the same time because your body is never getting enough calories to rebuild itself. So we have this incredibly strategic to the fact where you know how to lose fat like in 1 or 2 days, you're going to drive a fat loss. And the rest of the time you are fueling to perform. So can you lose fat on some days and build your body back up on others? Yes, but it's going to take flux. It's going to take strategy. It's going to take a professional laying it out for you, right? Just to be honest. But this is possible. And I even remember sitting there at a recent conference where someone's like, there's no such thing as, you know, a person who's burning fat and building muscle. I'm like, and they're thinking, well, according to the body comp of the women in our program, I see it every damn day. Like, we literally have the data. For those who do get body comp measurements, like this is so possible. And I just think we have like, we get in that realm of research where this is not possible per a study of 200 people in X, Y, and Z conditions. But what about like the practitioners out there just doing, like not stuck in the science and just designing the methods to drive the results specific to what people want in this lane?
Yeah, there is a researcher at University of Florida, and he released a study a couple of years ago. It didn't get a lot of press, but he worked with one of the women's sports teams at the university. And he really wanted to see what would happen if he didn't cut down the amount of food that they ate. They just increased the protein. They were strategic about the carbs. They were strategic about the training. And what was pretty amazing was, yeah, there was a huge inter-individual variation in regards to results, but they all lost fat and gained muscle. And some of them, the difference was insane. Like we're talking about losing 10 pounds of fat and putting on 8 pounds of lean mass over the course of 12 weeks. I mean, that's massive. And so I think, I don't know. I think it just comes down to like this reductionism in general in science, where it's like, you can only do this or you can only do that. But our bodies are so complex. And if you change a variable, you're going to change an outcome. And so it's really about strategically shifting the variables to elicit a specific outcome. And like what you said about us, like we dip into fat loss, but we don't like, we're not in this chronic, you know, calorie deficit under eating for a long period of time, because the female body specifically has an amazing ability to adapt to under fueling. And like I said earlier, I have measured metabolisms on women who are overtraining and under eating that were 900 calories a day because they weren't fueling enough. Yeah. And then on top of that, I found some really interesting research on PubMed when I was reading it over the weekend, just about metabolic adaptation. And they found like women who are, let's say, in indigenous cultures where there isn't enough food availability, they can actually maintain their weight on 60% of their total energy needs. Can you imagine that? So their bodies have downregulated to the point where, let's say, they should be able to eat 2,000 calories a day. They're maintaining normal body fat levels and everything on 1400 calories a day. And so I think, again, I know we keep driving this home, but it's like looking at the long term. Do you want to spend the rest of your life restricting and being hungry? Or do you want to have food freedom and flexibility because your metabolism is firing, your performance is amazing, and you just keep being able to, you know, play with the variables to continue to progress over the long term versus doing it from a place of that's really causing you to spin your wheels and just slowly decline over the long term, yeah. You know?
And I think that's where we're like just empowering women with the methods. And I know I've said that like out loud only a few times recently, but I really think like the more and more women who join our program, it's more so like, I just want the knowledge. I really want to be able to do this for the rest of my life. That takes time. It takes a lot of time to learn. We try to make it as concise as possible, but it's the methods that we need. That's what's missing for women here. Like this knowledge in our body, like how does the body work? And then, okay, I have a foundational understanding of that. Like you can't undo your knowledge of how your body works. Once you know, you always know. And it's the most empowering thing. And then it's like, okay, here's some strategies that I can use to work with that physiology. And a whole new world is opened where you're just so empowered. So with that, I do want to throw in real quick a little bit about the science of these weight loss drugs that we're seeing on the market, just to empower our listeners with some of what we're seeing per the research. Now, one of my friends is one of the lead researchers on looking at the influence of fitness on individuals who are losing extreme amounts of weight with drugs like Ozempic. And it's interesting that what we're seeing is 40% of that weight loss is lean body mass. So while that is an incredible amount of weight that you can lose fast, you are losing 40% of your lean mass, like muscle, bone, those things you need to be a resilient human for life. So in that trajectory, we don't even know yet if adding in exercise can help prevent that. We don't have that science yet. And to me, that is terrifying. As someone who does have reduced bone mass, like I fear, like I, in fact, like as a trail runner, like when I fall, it's like, oh my God, is this it? And like, I'm at the point where I'm rebuilding my bones, but that now I have that fear. Like I never wish that feeling on anyone. Like my kids are going skiing and I'm like, should I ski? Is this too high risk for me? Like, would this be a fracture? And I know like per my DEXAs, like everything's more resilient. And you know, my doctors are saying you're the poster child of health, Louise. I'm like, well, there's some data here that shows otherwise, you know? So I'm just thinking through this trajectory of this quick fix that we're seeing out there. And I understand there's a beautiful place for individuals who truly struggle with obesity. So I want to like approach this with respect, but in many ways, these fast results are coming at a price. So just kind of wanted to educate our listeners on that for those who aren't quite familiar with that statistic or haven't heard that yet.
Yeah, I think one of the things that people don't really understand is that most people have probably heard there's 3,500 to 4,000 calories in a pound of fat, but there's actually only 600 calories in a pound of lean body mass. And so you can be losing a lot of scale weight. And so, but if you're losing 40% of that from lean mass, you might be losing, you know, a pound, you know, maybe 2 pounds of fat. Let's just say 2 pounds of, not even, I would say 1.5 fat, and then maybe a little over a pound of lean tissue a week. And what they've shown with long-term weight loss, the sustainability of keeping that weight loss depends on your lean body mass. So the less lean mass you have, the lower your resting metabolism, the less your performance. And not to mention, we have no clue what the long-term implications are of this drug on gut health, on all other aspects of metabolism, because again, it's pulling away nutrition. It's causing your body to adapt to a reduced fuel. It's disconnecting your ability to communicate your hunger and satiety, which is so critical. And actually, there's a really natural, effective way to increase your body's production of GLP-1, and it involves eating protein. Fiber, quality carbs, healthy fats, like all of those actually increase GLP-1 on top of mindset. I know I've talked about this before, but some really cool research at Stanford showed the way we perceive what we are eating actually affects the hormonal response to the food.
Oh, absolutely. Because it takes out that stress.
Yeah. Exactly. And so like, if you're sitting there and you're on Ozempic and you're starving yourself, first of all, what kind of energy are you carrying around food with that kind of intention? Yeah. And then how is that going to impact not only your physiology, but your psychology? And I think like in a larger picture, it's like, what are we modeling for our children? Like I had coffee with a really good friend this morning, and her daughter goes to a private school near us. And she told me almost all the moms are on these drugs. And they're all looking like their face is sunken. Yeah, they're never
collagen,
like
we need our collagen.
They look weak. Yeah, they look weak. They look wasted. They don't look healthy. And I'm like, I think about like, I can't even imagine like my daughter seeing that and her being like, Mom, why aren't you eating? Or Mom, why do you look like you're starting you come out of a concentration camp? Or, you know, it's just like, what our bodies, I mean, I do want to touch on what you said.
Yeah.
Food is our vibrance. Absolutely. And we can eat.
Yes. This idea that we worked through, we actually, when we kicked off our summer challenge, we were talking about this, like thinking about this food as nourishing our body, like being grateful for it when we eat it.
Yes.
Like this is our ability to age well. Like, how are we missing this piece? And I'm so guilty of it myself. Like, even fear around food or this food equals my fat loss. And that's the only thing it is. It's like, no, this is my ability to be a beautiful, strong, energized mom. It's to serve at my highest level. It's my mental clarity. It's my ability to focus. It's my ability to connect with my husband and have libido. It's when we have fear around the food and then we're restricting, we're stealing that from ourselves. We're literally stealing our own joy by the way that we are approaching our nutrition in so many ways. So definitely going to encourage our listeners just to take a step back and really look at this food as fuel and looking at where we might be trying to chase these quick fixes at the expense of our vibrance and longevity. Because I think that's a lot of what we're talking about here today. Moving on with our final fifth misconception. I love this one. It's my favorite. The myth that you can't spot reduce or lean out a specific area. Oh my gosh, no. So you can target stubborn areas. And to some extent, you can spot reduce. There's even new research to support this. But I want to talk about how are we helping women achieve spot reduction? Meaning you have an area that is just so stubborn. So we have an entire masterclass that we did on core strength and physique changes, really getting to the root cause, because some women are in our program and that still is just like this tough area. One of the things that I just want you to think about is if you want to see changes in a certain area or muscle group, that tissue needs to be metabolically active. It needs to be alert. So here we are all day sitting. Something you can do to build a stronger core is simply activate your core at work. We have women that we coach. We encourage them to stand up once an hour. That will change your metabolism. We encourage you to do our glute kickback exercise. It's a specific way we activate the lower core and your glutes in a functional, strong core. Doing a few of those will help activate your core. It will bring blood flow to the area. And by doing that consistently over time, you're not sitting there in that slouched position, making your whole core dormant while you're sitting. So little things like that add up, and we see changes all the time. So another thing, can you spot reduce something like your arms? It's a trouble area. Well, I'll tell you what, I recently experimented this with our ladies and myself, and I made like a long lean, or I called it our sexual shoulders workout. And when I was doing this, I couldn't run. I couldn't use the elliptical. And I actually did just about 5 minutes of what I call metabolic conditioning. So this is a strategy. We empower women who are looking to lean out, runners who want to have a metabolism that's on fire. Like Ariel already kind of, you know, gave you guys a hint. It's a less is more strategy. You can get your metabolism on fire. You can get a certain area of your body working. So let's say you strength train arms. How do you use metabolic conditioning to target blood flow in a specific area of your body while also revving your metabolism? You could get on a rowing machine. and do something that's called metabolic conditioning. You warm up for a minute or two. You go 30 seconds all out, 30 seconds easy, 30 seconds all out, 30 seconds easy. Your arms are smoked. They're on fire. Your metabolism is on fire because that type of a very short amount of HIIT training actually has what's called an afterburn. So you are burning more calories throughout your day. I kid you not, ladies. I did that for 5 minutes on the rower. And Amy was sitting next to me the one day. She's like, Louise, are you freaking done? And I'm like, yeah. I was like, I think I did like 4 minutes of that day. I'm like, metabolic conditioning, man. She's like, son of a bitch, you got to tell me more about this. She's like, I know about it, but like, I want to know everything about it. She was telling me, she's like, I saw this girl working out at the gym and I noticed she had really great arms. I saw her from a distance. And then I was like, damn it, that's Louise. You know, she's like, it was Louise. And I was like, oh yeah, I know. Like I've had some changes. Like my arms look different. And so she's like, tell me all about this strategy. But Ariel, I know we've been building this into the Women That We Coach's programming. We've been testing it. How have you been loving it? Tell me a little bit.
Oh, I have. It is pretty amazing how such a short, intense training session can have such amazing results. And so this idea that we have no control over where our body burns fat, we're actually seeing some really interesting new science come out showing that that's not exactly the case. And so the metabolic conditioning is one piece of it. So I just thought, wow, it is, you know, because they always, again, it's one of those things. It's like, it reminds me of like, they can't build muscle, lose fat at the same time. Yes, you can. You can't spot reduce. Yes, you can. So
yeah, it just takes strategy. It's not, I
think it just takes strategy and time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. The other thing too, I want to say for our runners, I know a lot of them are worried. Like I'm in a fat loss phase or I want to lean out a little bit. Am I compromising performance by doing this? At this age, mm-hmm. No, you are revving your metabolism. Can you make this specific to running? Yes, you can. You can do all of your cardio running and you could still build in these metabolic conditioning days and concept. It's essential. It's going to protect your metabolism. You turn your legs over faster. You switch up your stride. You stay resilient. It can actually be an injury prevention strategy in and of itself by simply switching up your stride. And then I just want to leave listeners with this story of a runner who came into our program. She was stuck. She had done a sports nutrition program. She had put on about, I don't know, it's like 15, 20 pounds of excess weight because she was doing her best to use traditional sports nutrition strategy. And we put her on a little bit of a reduced running. We used metabolic conditioning. She was still able to run some. She focused on her strength and her fat loss phase. And she's transitioning now to PR 5K. And I kid you not, she is crushing her paces in her training plan, specific to her goals that we've designed. She did not compromise performance. In fact, with her hormone and her metabolism and her gut health and her energy online, those pillars we went back to in the beginning, she's like, I can't believe how easy this is coming, how great I feel. And you can still drop into your 6 minute pace zones. That is what I want for every listener of this podcast. So today we empowered you with 5 common misconceptions, some actionable takeaway strategies that you can start to consider and play around with in your own programming. If you are at the phase where you are like, darn it, I just want the methods. Darn it, I want the results. I want someone, an expert to help me pave the way in achieving my fit, functional, and feminine physique, you know where to find us at breakingthroughwellness.com. We are still in the heart of this summer challenge. We'll probably carry it into the fall, into the winter, because we always have this next level goal as high-achieving women. But we invite you to check us out at breakingthroughwellness.com. And with that, ladies, write us, let us know how you're doing. We love to hear your success coming from actually applying the strategies that you learn in this podcast. And with that, we wish you a vibrant, healthy, and high performance journey ahead. Take care. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Maximizing Fitness, Physique, and Running Through Perimenopause. We hope you found it refreshingly simple, straightforward, and actionable. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. Your feedback means the world to us and helps others discover our podcast. And don't miss out. Hop on over to breakingthroughwellness.com to subscribe to my newsletter. Stay up to date on upcoming episodes, free resources, my live educational events, our community of incredibly strong women, and Badass Breakthrough Academy, the one-on-one coaching program and learning experience for women ready to unlock their best
with less stress. Thank you again for being part of our podcast community. Until next time, keep it simple, low stress, and specific to you. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Maximizing Fitness, Physique, and Running Through Perimenopause. We hope you found it refreshingly simple, straightforward, and actionable. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. Your feedback means the world to us and helps others discover our podcast. And don't miss out. Hop on over to breakingthroughwellness.com to subscribe to my newsletter. Stay up to date on upcoming episodes, free resources, my live educational events, our community of incredibly strong women.